Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
And good evening. Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Our weekly topics focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben White Docker Sr., is the host. Together, I enjoy engaging you, our listening audience, and other experts from time to time as guests in various disciplines of study as we discuss various topics that are relevant to what is going on in our day-to-day lives. Additionally, this show serves as a catalyst for sharing relevant information to our online community. The website is www.bfcinstitute.com. There you can learn more about our traveling lecture series that we have for our organization, the traveling lecture seminar, as well as our crime intervention advocacy campaign, and our local Nashville-based initiative entitled Parent Empowerment Initiative. I'm grateful for all of you that have kept up with us so far, for our Facebook friends, our members in the group, the Educational Lecture Series group there on Facebook. We're grateful for those of you who have called in and communicated with us via email or Twitter and all of those other tools or modes of communication. Tonight, speaking from the topic, who knows what time it is? Who knows what time it is? For human beings, time is a measurement of progress and existence, evidenced by major events in the life and experience of people. And tonight we're going to speak from that. The number to call here, if you'd like to join the live conversation, is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. We welcome your question, your comments. We only ask that you keep your conversation relevant to our topic for the evening and that we be respectful of everyone and their opinions and the position that they share. The hope is that we'll all learn something from our dialogue And, of course, we offer a monologue. As host, we give a monologue, about a 10-15 minute monologue, to give some context or background for our discussion. Hopefully you'll find some factual information there that will help us frame, again, that conversation. And without further ado, we're going to get to that monologue. And again, the topic for tonight, this August 15th, 2017, is Who Knows What Time It Is? The writer in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter in the first verse, a very familiar passage of scripture for those who are normal Bible students. In the King James Version of the English Bible, the text reads, "Everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." Again, Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. Now let's look at framing a meaning for time for our discussion tonight. I'd like to offer to you this functional definition. Time is the continued progress of existence, a record of events that occur, irreversible succession, from the past through the present to the future. Time is a component quantity of various measurements used to sequence events, to compare the duration of an event, or the intervals between them, and mathematically to measure rates of change of numbers in material reality or in the conscious experience. Now, some ways we measure time and our age and how long we've known or been exposed to something is by watching the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon takes turns appearing in 12-hour intervals or cycles every day. And as they do so, they make up a day. There are 30 days that the sun and the moon repeat this cycle, and that makes up 30 to 31 days. That makes up a whole month. The sun itself circles the earth 12 times, which constitutes what we call our 365-day yearly cycle. That makes a year. 10 years is the repeating of the latter 10 times, which makes a decade. 10 decades makes a millennium. As you may know, in 2000 we entered a new millennium after 100 years. Now, as related to the human experience, time serves as a marker or measurement, a guide for human growth and progress. To understand cultures of people, historians and sociologists alike, anthropologists, describe the concept of time in three perspectives, that being linear, cyclical, and providential. And really what we're talking about is history, time as a measurement of history. Linear, cyclical, providential. The linear perspective. Narrative history tends to be guided by an assumption of a linear arrangement. Past events can be measured by a timeline from one point all the way to the end, like you're stretching out a rope. And it measures procuring events. This is based on the logic of cause and effect. In other words, this happened, and then that happened. That happened because this first. Many in America feel as though their life is what and how it is because something or someone acted in a certain manner in times past, and their actions have triggered their current condition. The supposition here is that I would not be in this condition if it were not for someone else's behaviors in the past. Now, cyclical perspective, history and time. The cyclical view of historical events holds that people and habits repeat themselves, and hence the cycle. It starts at one point and just comes right back around. Therefore, it is not necessary to look for any major change in culture or the way people do things from one generation to the next. We should expect the same thing. Moreover, the fate of a culture in the past is likely to repeat itself over and over again in the future. And therefore, people should prepare future generations to adapt accordingly to the fact that things are just going to stay the same. Following this view may cause society to become stifled, however, in their imagination and creativity, particularly when it comes to young people who are to take the torch and carry on the culture, the history of the people. Perhaps it is this viewpoint that leads to the apathy we see in society on part of many people, old and young. And it explains why we see little change in certain behaviors that are obviously of detrimental nature, not only in our society, but in the world abroad. Perhaps this is why so many people feel hopeless and ready to take on the world in some adverse way, because they feel as though, cyclically speaking, whatever happened to my mama, to my grandmama, to my great-grandmama, it's going to happen to me too. But then there's another perspective of history, known as the providential perspective of history. Generally, those who espouse a particular faith or hold true to a religious tenet are most likely to embrace this particular historical perspective of providence. The protective care of God or of nature as a spiritual power. God has a timely preparation for future eventualities. Now, I must admit that I subscribe largely to this in many cases, that things that happen are because God is in control. However, I offer a note of caution. Subscribers believe that what has happened is happening now, and it is happening because it is the will of God that it takes place. Furthermore, there is nothing anyone can do to change the present or significantly change the future of these events. Now, when you consider all of the aforementioned perspectives and look at the social condition, people in America today in particular, begs the question, just what time is it? More importantly, how do we properly address the challenges that keep young and old people turned upside down? This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. The number is 657-383-0944. Feel free to join us here. We have our regular panelists here, Pastor Ricky Waller, and it looks like 1080 from Nashville, Brother Charles. Good evening, gentlemen, and welcome to Talk Straight.
All right, good evening. How you doing?
All right. Pastor Waller, you heard my monologue, and something that now I do believe heavily in providential nature, history. In other words, things happen because God is in control. Okay, but where I take issue, Pastor, is when I hear people suggest we should just accept that young people gonna kill one another and that they gonna go crazy because that's God's will. That's where I have a rub. What about you?
Yeah, I don't think that is appropriate to
focus on that's true, because
okay.
that's God's will. I don't, and I heard you say earlier also about when something is passed down, I mean, because of my family before me and their family
right.
before them, and it's mm-hmm. just being passed down, and I noticed right there, you know, that don't hold to be true. Sometimes, maybe, but not all the time. Thank God it doesn't, because
okay.
I don't remember my father doing the things that I got caught up into. I just don't remember hearing anything about him doing these things, and I'm sure that had he been
okay.
doing those things I was doing, I would have known a little bit about it anyway, if not the whole shebang. But, man, I just know that the devil has a will also, and I guess when I discovered that, I can't say that that's God's will, you know, for that
mm-hmm.
to continue to rise up and for us to kill each other and things like that. You remind
right.
me of a song, the war, what is it good for? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And they say it again. And that to say, man, self-destruction in our communities, I don't know just yet, you know, how one has the power to even have us to think that way, that that's
mm.
what it is God, you know, have caused a button to be pushed that and say, okay, now we got them on every side of town, all over the country, that they're rising
mm-hmm.
up against each other. When I can only imagine the power of love being spread abroad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear what you got to say. I think, you know, I love your intelligence, and, you know, we know that it's very needed, and thank God for Brother Charles that's tuned in, and
absolutely.
Maybe you can allow him to give his take on it, because it's interesting, man. I tell you, I just, again, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it over. I
okay.
just don't believe that it has to be passed down, that, and it seems like it's never going to stop, you know, but
wow.
there's hope.
Wow.
Yeah,
no,
there's hope, man. I know there's
that
hope.
Is, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And, Pastor, that's the great point there, that if you say that I just accept failure because that's what happened to everybody else and somebody
mm-hmm.
else is in control of my destiny and my outcome, so I just accept failure, I done gave up hope, man. I ain't got no hope.
Yeah, that's true, man. And that's so true. I'm dealing with that when I heard you say it, and I thought about being in school and how when I was in elementary school, I was very much up to learning. You know,
uh-huh.
the teacher was teaching, was learning and things, you know. Not only did I learn math, I mean, I learned some other things, but I was, you know, more, I guess I was attentive to math because of my hustle, you know what I mean? So I was able to love math a lot. And
okay.
But I was still participating in other areas. And then soon
mm-hmm.
as I got around junior, I just back over that today. Around
mm-hmm.
junior high, I was excited about getting ready to play on the basketball squad for Washington Junior High School. Very
right.
powerful school. It was the school is called Washington Junior High Tigers, and then they had the Pearl High Tigers, and then they had the Tennessee State Tigers. So I had finally got into the seventh grade. Man, I'm at Washington Junior High, excited and everything, and then all of a sudden I got integrated, man, into a school that was prominent white, and
okay.
not that it was a bad school, it's just that I just wanted to be a Tiger, and at
oh,
that
I
point
see.
School became no more interested to me, man. I was just playing ball because I knew how to play and wasn't playing it
okay.
you know, I didn't play it. It was like, okay, I'm gonna get my school in, I'm gonna go on to college. No, I didn't do that. By the time I got ready to finish my school, I didn't know nothing.
Okay. Excuse me one second. We have a new caller here from 1111. Caller, how you doing this evening? Welcome to Talk Straight.
Greetings. I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Great, great. Wonderful, wonderful. Thanks for joining us tonight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're talking from the topic, who knows what time it is, and I don't know if you've followed our conversation so far. What we were looking at is from the human perspective, you know. There are different ways of measuring history, and the what my history professor used to call the zeitgeist of the age or the time that we're in. And many people kind of give up because they feel as though the times that we live in are useless and there's no hope. What say you?
Well, I firstly want to commend you on your very elegant description of time. And
thank
it's
you.
For that reason that I called in. And yes, I've been listening, but you piqued my
okay.
curiosity when you described time.
Okay.
And you gave three principles or three keys of light
okay.
that will give us an explanation of time. Now, my question
okay.
is this, Reverend.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to put this disclaimer out here first because I want to make myself extremely clear. I am not
okay.
asking this question to throw salt on or to denigrate another culture or to big up any other culture, but out
okay.
of curiosity. Out of curiosity, and I am someone who is an avid reader,
okay.
my question to you is this. If there is a culture, be it a very old culture or perhaps even a new culture, but I'm more so leaning towards an old culture that does
okay.
not have this intelligent means of telling time, this understanding of measuring their existence.
Yes, ma'am.
If they do not have the means to do that, if they are not mindful of that, what I'm saying here is if there was a culture of people who only understood that when the sky gets cloudy, it rains, and during certain times of year, of the year or season, it gets hot. Or it gets cold, or plants grow better. But they had no intelligent means of measuring time.
Yes, ma'am.
What would that say about that culture? And I want you to be mindful that I know, or I am mindful and aware that there are certain temples and sun temples, if you will, in
mm-hmm.
India, Africa, and all around the globe. And we understand that they had this intelligent means of telling of measuring time down to the very a slither of a second. So I'm aware
yeah.
of that. But my question
okay.
to you is, what does it say or what is your understanding of the condition of a people that had no intelligent means of measuring time?
Yes. I would say that if you have a culture of people that share a particular way of life, and they have no way of measuring time, it's difficult for them to prepare their young for their time in the next generation and long after they're gone. Because it's important to understand who you are, how you came to be where you are from a historical standpoint. If you don't understand your past, it's difficult for you to have a sense of direction in the future. And oftentimes people are confused about what they should be doing at the present. And I believe that that's what has happened, particularly in America, with not just African Americans, but many different subgroups, is that we've lost focus on what our real purpose is. In this notion of democracy, everybody does what they want to, but the truth of the matter is there are some specific things we have to do to tie ourselves down and be cognizant and aware of where we are in relationship to where we come from in our identity and culture in the perspective of time and moving forward. Does that make any sense? But I would think that culture
it makes total
will
sense.
Soon die.
It
will soon die. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It makes total sense to me. And my last question, and I don't want to take much of your time, but my last question
okay.
to you is this. In the Bible,
mm-hmm.
in the Bible, there is a strong relationship to season
yes.
and seasonal changes. So I'm wondering,
yes.
and I don't necessarily subscribe to any particular religious modality, but I am
okay.
wondering this. I'm wondering this. Is it that people in this current density, this current day right here, have lost
mm-hmm.
the ability to tell what time it is, because we don't do things according to seasons. You know, in the Bible, it says that, you know, there is a time for everything. So I understand that to mean there is a season in which you should be doing certain things, and that will propel you forward in life. And I mean literally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When I talk about these seasons, I would like for you to elaborate on that if you could.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Great question. Gentlemen, y'all bear with us. We're grateful to have our caller to call in with us. He's raising some relevant questions. You were talking about Ecclesiastes, where it talks about the third chapter, first through the eighth verse. It describes how there's a time for everything. And to your point, there's a season. Further in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, I believe it is, it admonishes young people to remember the Creator in the days of their youth. What the inference is, that is the season that you prepare yourself for when you get older and you won't be able to have the energy and the drive to provide for yourself. Almost like the ants. They come out at a certain time and they store up things so that when they can't come out, they'll be able to feed off of them. There is a particular season, there's a proper time and a place for everything. And I think what I'm hearing is, as a premise in your question, is that many people are lost in their place in life because they either are not aware or they miss their season for doing certain things. Great question. Absolutely. Thank you for joining us, and feel free to stay with us there as long as you like. I wanted to Charles, you there?
I'm here.
All right. What was your take on the monologue, Charles, in terms of the dichotomy of the perspectives of time, in terms of looking at it from a historical perspective?
From a historical point of time, I feel like a lot of people, I agree they don't know what time. I mean, when you're looking out your door, I mean, you look out into the world that we live in, it'll make you lost in time. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of this stuff right here, I mean, it's too much to grab without explaining where it comes from. But once you go back and do research, then it makes sense. But just looking at it with no knowledge, you'd be lost in time because it's so advanced now to this point. You can't even grasp the concept of how something works. You don't know how this phone works that we're on right now. You have to do research and know where it's from. So it's important to know your history. Then you will catch up two times. But I look in the Bible too. It's a time for everything. It's a couple of things in the Bible that I did see that we haven't took time to do. There is a time for everything. The thing is, what time are we going to do it in? Nobody's decided when it's this season. I'm right there at that season. But I need a lot of people to be there collectively, not individually. I'm kind of knowing what time it is right now, but at the same time, by looking at what's going on around me, there's a lot of people who never lost time. I feel like me personally, I have lost time. I'm having to catch up. I have to go back. So that's wasting time. You know what I'm saying? I got to do this first. Just to catch up with time, now I'm at a middle age of my life where I'm understanding what time it is. Now I'm ready to play. Yeah. Now I'm riding the same time. It's kind of over with.
Right.
It's kind of the spirit at the same time. So I know I'm aware of what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, with time, I wonder why people around me don't understand they don't understand the time that I'm talking about.
I think that's
I'm familiar with the time. I understand the time, but it seems like it's a bunch of groups around me that just don't grasp the time that I'm describing. Like they play like the time don't exist. Like I don't understand. We're so past. A lot of people around us are more advanced, but it's a particular group out here that's stuck in the past. It's still stuck in time. And time is moving around.
Charles, I believe that was the premise of the first caller's question, and that is that they're good people. We're not disparaging them in any way. People who are lost in the grand scheme of things in terms of time. Where should you be? Where's your place in life? And you know, if you get to be 25, 30 years old, and there are certain lessons, character-building lessons that you miss out on, or historical context that you miss out on, even about your own family, you tend to find yourself looking back, trying to answer those questions, trying to figure those things out. Is that a fair description of your question, caller, ma'am?
Yes, it is. And I have one additional question. I hate to seem so greedy, but when I hear a brilliant mind, I gotta, you know, I'm like a butterfly to light. I gotta ask some serious questions. Now, this last question is this. I know. I said my last question was the last question.
No. You're fine.
Please bear with me. Okay.
These fellas on here, they've been with us a while. They understand. I believe they understand. But go ahead with your question.
In listening to the conversation, it is opening my mind to other areas of time. And when I think about seasons, as it relates to us, these individuals in nature, would you say, Reverend, that seasons are indicative of or congruent with tradition and change, and that seasons give us something to look forward to? Not only that, you can build culture around seasons, around these measurements of time and how we use them. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And to your point, herders and gatherers, agriculturalists, they live by making sure that they're keenly aware of what time it is, because they're not able to plant nor harvest in the appropriate time frame to make that useful to them if they operate outside of that time. And this is something that goes back since the beginning of time with man, that they've been watching the moon and they've been watching the stars, they've been watching the sun, and they've been keeping a count. You know, it's interesting, if you go to the airport, at an international airport, they'll have a number of different clocks up there, and all of them got different times. If you go to certain cultures and you look at and you ask, well, how do you measure time? There's a Hebrew time, there's an Arabic time, there's a European Gregorian count, a lunar count. You know, those are the type of things that if you're not aware of them, it makes you become displaced when it comes to understanding people, where they are, and how they're motivated by, again, keeping up with certain events in history and time and what causes them to function. And one last thing, when I taught high school in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were teaching world geography and we were having a discussion with many of the young people who never left Nashville. They've never left Nashville. And what I was trying to get them to appreciate cultures around the world, one of the things that they discover very quickly is that in many of those places, they're at least 12 hours ahead of us. And their time frame for doing things operate very differently from what in America we're used to or accustomed to. So I think you again, your question was right on point in terms of how people are displaced by the lack of knowledge or understanding about how time functions in their lives. Were you going to say something, Charles? Or was that you, Outcast?
I don't know. I'm just here listening.
Okay. All right. But
well,
that was a quick... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Outcast.
Issue of time, you know, which you mentioned, there's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest, there's a time for war, there's a time for peace. There's actually a time for everything. Listen to you earlier, you was talking about what the people said about the young guys with their pants down and behind and things of that nature, and God was brought into focus on that. But at the end of the day, God cannot be tempted by evil.
Okay.
So that's my take.
And so that's an interesting point, because oftentimes what we do is we speak about God, and we know that God is infinite, and God has – that's certainly what our faith teaches us anyway, that God is infinite, has all power. But the real question is, what about us as human beings? How do we function in the context of our existence? And if you're not aware of how things came to be – you know, at what point do you learn, and who teaches you how to appreciate those things?
Oh, man, I agree.
especially when they don't teach it in school. Like it's not even.
Hold on. Let me call back. Hold on. Let me call back.
You go ahead. What'd you say?
Yeah, I say especially. I'm like, so what's? I'm kind of confused with the time thing because that time is deep. It's going from. Are you talking about literal time with the sun, daylight? Are you talking about what time it is in mankind history? I'm talking about mankind, about man existing, you know, for that time. That's the time frame I'm coming from, just to be clear on the phone tonight.
Great question.
I feel like it's not being taught in school. It's a reason why some things are being left out. So I figure there's some groups out here that, you know, you're not going to know what time it is because it's not put out there for you to know. And I think that's, you know, it's strategically planned. I don't think it's by accident. It's just my opinion.
Okay.
Every time certain people are in it, it's like some people are there for a reason. Good time for different type of people, and it's bad time for another group of people. So what time are we talking about? The good times for another group of people or the bad times for another? So it's two different times. You see what I'm saying?
Charles,
that's the world we live in today.
All right. So, Charles, if you'll recall, in the monologue, I made reference to the linear perspective and people who narrate history, right? And it sounds like you're inferring that someone has consciously decided, that they were going to control the flow of information, particularly relative to time. And in doing so, they have caused others to miss out or to be stuck in a period of time. Is that what am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah, you're right on it. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
All right. I want to ask our first caller, ma'am, what do you think about that? What do you think of? Do you think that there's something to that, or is there a different perspective on that? I'm just curious.
I most definitely think that there's something to that. And before the show ends, I want to tell you that this listening to this lecture, and I'm calling it a lecture because I have been able to glean so much from it in this short time period, time frame. So, but what I want to say is I consider this to be a nugget in my basket.
Okay.
This particular conversation right here. And as it relates to time and what you and the gentleman have been discussing, I understand that there are levels to understanding. I understand about my physical self in this reality, in this existence, but I also understand that there is a philosophical meaning. And I'm leaning heavily on the philosophical meaning of time. And Reverend, I'm going to tell you, after this conversation, I'm making a point to talk to me, myself first, my people, my family circle, about being in agreement with time, knowing what time it is, because I realize after this conversation, we don't know what time it is. We are perhaps in this vortex that has no time. You know what I'm saying? And I know I'm jumping all around, but I just want to get that out there.
No, ma'am, you're in order. You're in order. Pastor Waller, chime in. Pastor Waller is our co-host, and he is here in Nashville with us. Go ahead, Pastor Waller. A comment on that?
Yeah, man, I appreciate the conversation as a whole. I think there's a lot of power within it. It's some heavy weight, you know, being carried out right now, I must admit. I want to share, according to dealing with the time, the Bible says, and this is something I didn't know years ago, because most of my life, the first half of my life, I didn't understand what time it was, whether it was day or night, you know, because I was in a position that I was bent over, you know, what they would call in a nod, I mean, in a sleep position. But nevertheless, you know, a lot of time went by that I didn't know the value of the time. But then I discovered years later, when discovered in the Bible, it says in a moment, that's the power of time and how fast, you know, time can bring about a change. I mean, 20 plus years of my life went just like that without me knowing the true value of time. Okay. And I was, but you know, it says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you know, talking about time. And then I found out later on about the power of making preparation to deal with the time that I'm familiar with today. Where it says wisdom is the thing, therefore get wisdom, but in all your reading, get understanding. And so now I'm learning, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, I discovered something in verse number 13. and 14, and listen to what it says. It says, therefore, once you have your minds ready for action, and clearly, place your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you. You see, that means I didn't have it. I didn't know what the time was about. I didn't know that, but now that I knew what he's bringing into existence, being ready for recognizing that, man, it's been 25 years now. I know what time it is. You know,
okay.
I'm in a day-to-day fight. You know, prepare for action. He says, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. See, my life, first half of life, I was not sober.
Right.
I was chasing a chemical that was controlling me. And there's so many people today are captured like that, man, because they were
okay.
Like once upon a time, I was, didn't know what time it was. He would say this, and I want to wind down with this. He says, don't be conformed to your former desires. Those that shaped you when you were ignorant. You see, in my life, I was ignorant. I did not know what time it was, man. It's amazing that we're talking about that tonight. So, and in school, when I was in elementary school, the teacher used to write on a receipt card, use your time wisely. You know? Using it wisely, man. So, very interesting, I must admit. And thank you for bringing that up.
Sure. I discovered something about time. You can get up early enough in a daily cycle and operate ahead of time, and when it comes, it'll go right along with you. You can get up too late, though, and that same time will pass you by and never look back on you for a second.
That's right.
More time will allow you to try to keep up with it and try to pull your shoes together and pick up everything else and run and try to keep up with it. But time seems to be somewhat selfish in that it is very specific and it is measured. If we miss out on key opportunities, ma'am, in the season in which we should properly operate, we find ourselves losing out. That's not to say it's over with, but that means that you need to learn how to appreciate the importance of being timely. And when you look at people that are unsuccessful at anything they do, you can tell that they tend not to be disciplined to following a certain process or keeping up with intervals of time. And they have no real value for the importance or significance of doing things in a timely fashion, so they can't keep up with the rest of the world around them. But that's a very interesting point. Very interesting point. I wanted to ask you all tonight the question, and let me just say again to the rest of our listening audience, the number is 657-383-0944. Feel free to call us and share your thoughts, your comments, your questions. We'll be happy to entertain them tonight here on Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, who knows what time it is? I wanted to ask this question. You know, I'm looking at a lot of the frustration and the anguish that we see in the news with particularly young people. And I wonder if the generations ahead of them missed an opportunity to give them a full understanding of their own history and background such that they understood what they should be doing today. And that information would have eliminated some of their frustration, some of the anxiety in 2017. You would think by now, as a nation, as a culture, and even within the African-American subculture, we would have advanced further than what we have right now. Looking at Chicago, I think it was 9 people killed, 100 and some shot, yet again, right? Ma'am, what do you think about that? Do you think an opportunity was missed? And I'm not here to disparage the elders. This is an educational conversation right now. Hopefully we can learn and grow from it. Ma'am, do you think we missed an opportunity?
Well, I'm going to refer back to what you said earlier when you said there are seasons that people miss, but it doesn't mean that they can't recoup or regenerate themselves and acclimate themselves into the current time frame. Now, having said that, I had a teacher that used to say, time awaits no man. And that change is inevitable, whether you will it or not.
Absolutely.
I think that the older generations, and it grieves me to say this, sir, but I've got to keep it real. I'm a lady axe at the root of the tree. I believe that there are tools that are used to infiltrate the minds of the masses. And many of the older generations, like you said, they didn't know what time it was. And I think people are frustrated now and they have no hope because they are in a timeless. They are outside the grace of time, if you will. So understanding what time it is helps you to understand what you should be doing and how you should be dealing with what is going on. So this is the philosophical aspect of it. And yes, I do believe that they missed out on an opportunity to tell the younger people what time it was, but it's not a lost cause.
No,
because
it is not.
Like you said earlier, you can miss a season, but guess what? You can look forward and prepare and be ahead of the next season, and you can get right back in step with time. You can recalibrate your time frame, if this makes sense to you. So I get it. I want you to know I get it. I get it.
Okay.
And I feel like I need to recalibrate myself and work diligently to speak to the minds of my people and my family so that we all recalibrate ourselves or our frequencies to be in step with time. So, yes, you make a valid point. This is profound. It is extremely deep, and you can take it on so many levels. But where I am right now, I'm understanding the philosophical
level of it, and
I can apply it to my life.
That is the nature of our conversation. We are speaking from a philosophical position. You know, because to your point, there are a lot of good people, my parents in particular, my dad is gone on now, but mom is here and others, you know, oftentimes when they speak, they say, well, you remember when I was growing up, such and such, and this is the way things were, and this would have never happened. But in your time, I like the way you said that you phrase it as a vortex. There are people who are lost at a period now where they don't even understand the occurrences and significance of their parents and grandparents' time. So they're really lost about what their place is, you know, in life and in the universe at this point. And I wonder, Charles, you were alluding to the fact that something that should be taught in school is appreciation philosophically for management, time management, and how you manage your life and you look toward the future. But Charles, if you had to develop a curriculum or a piece of curricula that would be taught in school, in your own words, how would you frame that?
If I had to teach, I mean, you definitely have to go a little bit in the back. I mean, far as like you have to go back a little bit in history to catch up to today's time, so you can understand what you're seeing in what we call reality. You know, say. So I would definitely have to incorporate that, because if you don't incorporate that, you'll never understand what's going on right in front of you. I mean, it won't even make sense. It don't even make sense. It's like, oh, life is just so unfair. You just think. It's not unfair based off God. Let's get that clear first. This is not a God situation, time frame that we're living in. First of all, this is a man's time zone that we're living in. So it can be changed, but will it change? I mean, will it be changed by the person who has control of time? Time is not nothing lost. Time can be recouped, but will... Is there a changing will out there that will help adjust time? I'm not trying to dig all the way back into what happened back in time, but a lot of people know the history of time, but not willing to change nothing about what happened. he's sorry for what happened this time, but I need to see more of that happening in today's time to make sense of what's going on.
Sure. So what I'm hearing you say is there's a valuable lesson to be learned from what took place in the past that will help you function today. Is that what I'm hearing? Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes, and it has to be included in education. So when you step out into life, into reality, you know the playing field or what time it is. Now you're caught up to speed up time. So now you can make adjustments according to what you're trying to do with your future. But if you don't know what happened, then you're going to start your own. You're just going to be out here a walking robot, a person, whatever television tells you to do, whatever. Without that, you got to know the basics. You don't know what you're up against. I don't know. You need to know that. It's a cultural thing. That's something that should have been taught by Big Mama, and Big Mama should have passed it down to such and such. But there was a separation for a particular type of people, so they're stuck in time. They can't catch up.
Now, will y'all allow me to play the devil's advocate here? This is a great conversation. For the sake of thought, though, and consider this, and I'm going to go back to the linear concept of time, okay? We'll go back to linear first. The idea that one action precipitated another, which caused another action to be as it is. When you think about being disciplined and writing down things to where you can teach them from one generation to the next so they can repeat the same results, isn't there a case to be made for certain lessons in history from a linear perspective that, yes, we want you to be intentional about teaching your children to value education? We want you to be intentional about teaching self-respect. We want you to be intentional about learning your heritage and how you work and get along with other people with various identities. Shouldn't we be very specific then? And I'll open that up to everybody in the conversation. Okay, Pastor, what say you?
Yeah, I'm with that because of the pass down, man, of things that's in desperately needed. And, you know, again, I have to be firm about what I've learned versus what I didn't know it once upon a time. And it has to do with the time, you know. You know, it states very clear. It says, oh, God, you have taught me from my youth. That means when I was young.
Okay.
And hitherto, I declare that your wondrous works. You know, he's done some great things. Okay. Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, sound like that's a lot of time right there. From the youth to when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everything that is to come. So that's stating very clear that you should have something to offer to the ones who's coming after you. And it's not to belittle the people who's coming after you, but you want to pass down some good information. I would tell you, the guys before me, they tried to share with me. They tried to warn me about the things that I was going to get into, but they was not leading by great example. You know, they meant well. You see, so it's a great thing to be able to say, okay, I understand now that I must lead by example, so what is going to be a good example or a bad one? One thing I discovered is it wasn't no in between, and I followed some of the things that I saw and I heard some guys doing. And again, you know, I'm just standing firm on what the Word of God is saying today and grateful to be able to reach out to the generation to share with them things in which I have to offer. I mean, once upon a time, I didn't. And I would firmly admit, you know, that I did some unrighteous things, man, that I got caught up into the grip with. And it saddens me every time I think about it. You know, not sometimes, but every time I notice that. I thought maybe by now I could talk about it and it'd be all right. But no, it weighs heavy. You know what I mean? To know that there's another generation coming up, and who's going to offer these young people something that they can appreciate and understand. And, you know, when wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, the Bible says. But in all you'll get it, I'm talking about get understanding. So I believe they can understand as much as they're learning now. Why come they couldn't understand a simple instruction to remind them about what's going on? As Marvin Gaye used to say the song, what's going on? Somebody to tell me what's going on. I think that's what they're crying out right now. Somebody tell me what's going on. Why are we caught up into all of this destruction? That's what the cry is. That's what the message that I'm getting out of it is that won't nobody help us get out of what we're in. We don't know what we're doing. That's the message, because I've been in that situation. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was doing it. Yeah. I was going for what I knew, what I learned. And, man, great topic, brother. Just know that.
Okay. Well, ma'am, I hear a lot of, I think, well-intended individuals, parents, say, well, you know, I don't want my child to have to grow up under such strict rule that I did, because I missed out on enjoying certain things in life. Are we doing a disservice taking that mindset? Caller, ma'am?
I would say yes.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Ma'am, are you there with us? Okay, perhaps she's still listening. Go ahead, Outcast. Go ahead. What would you say, Outcast?
I would say
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's speak.
Go ahead,
well,
ma'am.
What I wanted to say quickly was listen to you and the brother mix it up about the elders not teaching the children or the younger generation the very tenets of linear time. And I had a light bulb moment, and I'd like for you to respond to this. If we don't have the tools to correctly give our younger people, our younger generations, the tangible element of linear time, then we are essentially raising a culture of perpetual children.
Wow.
I saw that when you were talking. Please tell me about that. I understand now why we behave so childlike, because we did not have parents who had the tools, the tangible tools, to teach us about linear time. And so, therefore, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but essentially we are a generation of perpetual children because we don't know what time it is, Reverend. Like you said, we don't know what time it is.
You and I want to echo what you're saying, and I want to reiterate that this is in no way intended to disrespect, to demean, or discredit anyone. I hear so many people talk about what Dr. King did and people that marched with Dr. King. Well, the question becomes, the rest of you all that are still here, if you understood King, why is it that your life has not been a catapulting force over the last 50, 60 years, right? And the truth of the matter is, Carly, I think you've described it quite well. What you have is multiple generations, really now a generation and a half, of people who have a perpetual immature mentality about the – and I think that's why the babies are so angry, because they're looking for politicians, they're looking for preachers, right? They're looking for everyone else who they are told to be in authority figures that you respect to give them this information that will help them improve themselves, but they're not getting it. Collectively speaking,
that's right.
I'm not speaking about everybody, but collectively as a whole, the babies are not. Especially when you see incidents like the crime and the cry that you see in the urban areas, they're not getting that. That's a very powerful lesson. That's in large what we're trying to do with this lecture series. Is open up dialogue and build that type of conversation that will be transformed into action. Because the truth is, when you pull the cover off of it, it's the grown people that got to fix ourselves. And I'm gonna put myself in there too, caller. I'm in there too. I ain't gonna just talk about nobody else.
Amazing.
But so as we move forward, though. As we move forward, man, look, Do y'all know what time it is? We got 30 minutes. There's no time playing with us again. Time messing with us again. But in the next 30 minutes. Go ahead, Pastor. What do you say?
I said, that's the time, man. That's what I was basically from the youth to say he taught me in my youth. And then all of a sudden, now I'm gray-headed. Man, that's a lot of time right there, brother. And you know, to be able to offer, you would think that you should have something to offer that would be beneficial to the young. It says it's very clear, you know. And I want to just reiterate, if you will, it says in another translation, so even in my old age with gray hair, don't abandon me, God. Not until I tell. And that's what I like. Not until.
Right.
Tell all of you
about
your
strength. Hold on 1 second, child. Hold your thought. Go ahead, finish, Pastor.
Yeah, so he's trying to get us information that, you know, to not withhold what they deserve. You know, and that's what he was saying here. He was asking God, you know, don't do anything right now. Give me a chance, you know, to tell the young people that is to come, you see, about your mighty arms, man. Then just like I said, to tell all who are yet to come about your strength and about your ultimate righteousness, you know. And so that's a beautiful thing to be able to do, to have something to pass down to them. Without waiting for them to come, we need to take it to them, man. And, you know, they deserve it. That's all I can say. I mean, I'm first to admit, yes, I didn't do a good job at it.
All right, well, we're going to improve ourselves. All right, Charles, go ahead. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I'm thinking about time. I'm trying to figure out how much difference could have made as if what's going on today. Had we not lost 400 plus years of time.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to take it there because I'm going to take it there because when we look at time, if it didn't matter, why so long if it didn't matter? It's proof that it did matter for something because I'm looking at America, the way it's ran today was based off 400 years plus time that was stolen. If it didn't have no effect on what's going on today, then what are we talking about? You see what I'm saying? So time is something. There's a time for a place for what happened, and that's the kind of time frame we live in today. It's a little more cleaned up and polished in different little areas, but we're still in the same time. Just to be real, honestly.
Well, we're marking time. It seems some people are marking time. I won't say everybody, but some people are marking time. What's interesting, Charles, is now you made reference to, I'm assuming you were talking about Negro Afro-American people in the context of America in the 400-year period. But what's interesting is, it's been now 102 years since people of Afro descent or Negro descent who were former slaves and that sort of thing in America have been free to live their own lives, chart their own destiny. And after 152 years, I wonder how well have we taken the lessons of the past 400 years to include that 152 years to change the dynamics of our condition, of our being, even in America. Even if you wanted to go somewhere else in the world, you know, how well did we use that history to chart a new path for another generation? I think what happens, everyone, is when you get a certain age, you begin to reflect and ask yourself, have I done enough to relax and to lay back? Have I taught enough people? Have I put enough work in? Have I served humanity, you know, will my name be remembered well? And what happens is if you feel like you haven't, you have a tendency to start competing with young people to keep yourself relevant and to keep your name out there. Well, you're cheating the young person of an opportunity to step up learn and to be productive because you're in the way. Simply because you feel as though your life, and this is what Pastor was alluding to, your life all these years, you done turned gray now. And you wonder if you're saying to yourself, man, maybe I ain't done enough. I need to get out there and try to still hang out with the little young guys and make myself look good. When we think about it in relationships with males and females, you know, you have a tendency to try to make yourself 30 to 40 years younger than what you actually are. And for what? Is there anything to it? Carla, what do you think about that? Ma'am, I'm talking to the lady now.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I was just listening.
Okay.
I think that we need to be mindful of the time, and I keep going back to the foundation that you laid this conversation on is what time is it? And we need to understand that we are in a time. Here's one aspect of the time right here. Stimuli or propaganda is heavily used to infiltrate the psyche of the average American.
That's right.
So that we don't understand what time it is. So that we subscribe to youth and beauty, and we think that that is indicative of power. But you can't be 25 for 50 years. Time won't allow that.
No, ma'am.
Whether you will it or not, no matter what you do, time will not allow that. So if we are mindful of the stimuli that is used, I don't think many of us are mindful of it. But when you look at commercials, the literature that you read, the music, we know that the music has changed vastly. It's no longer organized, highly intellectual sound. It's no longer coming from the spirit. It's automated. Matter of fact, they use auto-tune to help people who look good but don't have any God-given talent. So if we are mindful that we are in a time that uses tools that are synthetic to change our reality. If we can, I know some people call it the matrix. I'm calling it a vortex. If you, once you realize you can step out of that vortex and you can come into the realness of time and reality. My mom used to say, when I'm real, my life is real. I can give people that nugget that she gave us. When I'm real, my life is real. What am I saying here? I'm saying that when we do away with the stimuli that is being used to distract us from what time it really is, then we can get on board and get in agreement with time, get in agreement with systems, and understand what our true purposes are and how we can guide a culture and stop being perpetual children. This conversation was so powerful for me. I'm just lost for words to explain to you how this has changed. There was something I was needing, and I'm an avid reader, but I was not getting it. I think because I was so deep in the forest, I couldn't see the tree. But when you said, "Do you know what time it is?" That simple statement opened up doors to several levels of understanding. If we do not understand what time it is, we will be perpetual children. And you are angry because babies cry because they can't express themselves. We can't express ourselves because we don't have the tool. We don't have the knowledge of what time it is.
And that's
hope
where
that
the
makes
violence.
Sense, Reverend.
No, it does. This is where the violence comes from. When you think about the violence continuum, it begins with ignorance, not knowing, and not knowing what to expect or how to act. And the more you don't know and you're in an environment and you see things coming at you, expectations and what have you, and pressures, you become anxious. And the more anxious you become without knowledge of what to do and how to function, how to maintain yourself, the more likely it is that at the slightest little breathe of air on your ear, you turn around swinging on somebody.
Yes, sir.
But that's where we are. And here's the good news. Knowing this, we're in a position now to turn some things around. Charles, I like your premise. One of the things, if we can't get it in the public school system, what there's nothing stopping us from, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, sharing a base of knowledge that is transformative for our children and our families, right? These are things
right.
we can sit down and have a conversation with little guys on a regular basis about that perhaps they won't ever see it in a public school, but the education is not subject to the four walls of a brick-and-mortar classroom. But everything we go through is a learning experience if we learn from it. It's a teachable
right.
moment. Moment. So.
Uh-huh.
So, go ahead, Charles.
But it also has to, I mean, I could teach it all day and I could preach my heart so it bleeds. But it has to have power when you step outside into reality.
Sure.
Yeah, because if it don't have power when you step into reality, now it causes frustration. I can teach
yep.
what ought to be, but if the treatment is totally different from what I'm teaching,
mm-hmm.
then now you're back in frustration. Now I'm going to do whatever I got to do, and that's how we become, that's how the generation become criminals and thugs, because they don't have nothing to live for. Doing the,
absolutely.
Doing things like the fair way and the honest way,
mm-hmm.
life ain't fair because it's being manipulated and you're being tricked. And once you start realizing that you don't have a chance for real, now you take matters into your own hand and try to go get your own life. And that's why
okay.
people become violent and criminal and selling drugs, because they gonna become the kings and the queens they feel like on the inside. Now, the world might not treat me like they're king and queen. Don't mean I can't treat myself. So they're going to find
absolutely.
Other ways to become who they are on the inside. They feel it, but they're not getting they're not getting probably the money they feel like they deserve, or the opportunity or the fairness that they hard to feel it. So they're going to fulfill it one way or another. And you know what? I feel like the young generation is going through violence. They're picking up drugs and selling drugs because they can get
wow.
the desire that they feel they worth. And it's
correct.
it's a messed up way because they created a law against it. That's the only reason why
yeah.
they're in jail. But they really, in my eyes, I see them as successful entrepreneurs. Using it in the wrong direction because of the law.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't for the law, them same people on these street corners got way more money than these people out here working. And it's using it in the wrong direction, though. But it's on the wrong direction because it's lawfully like that.
Right.
That's my whole thing. So time is controlled by man. It's not by God. It's the reality man gave us. That's what time we're in. So you got to follow the rules over what time the man gives you. So that's the time we're in. So we always going to stay behind time because it's controlled time.
Let me push back on you just a little bit there, y'all. You're a man like the
right.
next man. And you are in a position to control your time and not let anyone else do it. To manage your time and let no one else take control over that. So would you agree or would you consider that, yes, someone may have went out of their way to try to define your time for you, but the more you understand about the nature of time and its relationship to you, you're able
yeah,
to control
yeah.
and manage it much better, much better.
Yeah, with a whole lot more understanding, yes, you're right. With understanding, yeah, you'll be able to manage time, but it leaves you stuck at one point. It's only so far you can get. Then the more you know about it, but then you be like, wow, okay, I know about
well,
that. I know what time it is. But then you come back
right.
into reality, you be like, wow, you realize that
this.
The whole country of and the land is already
yeah.
taken. What do you
well,
put these
on.
Actions there? Everything's been claimed already. Like, wow,
okay.
you don't have no
well,
say in this land.
Hold on for a second. You're making a good point, but consider this. Now, here's the thing. In the context of this capitalist society we call America, the question is, since some people had seemingly had a head start or a jump on you, how do I catch
yes.
up, right? Now, what we do is we look back in history, we'll discover that, let's just talk about the African-American subculture. If you look at their history, nowhere in it can you not see that they've helped build America? So you do have a claim. You do have investment. What you perhaps don't know how to do is to properly identify and capitalize off of your investment and even this capitalist society. And the more you control your economic status or independence, the freer you are to spend the time to learn and to do the things that will empower you to be independent in other ways as well. And in the grand scheme of things, that's really, that was the nature of the question being posed. Who knows what time it is? There are a lot of people walking, and they're floating in an orbital cycle, but they have no clue as to where the train going to stop next or what time it's going to get to the station. With all due respect, go ahead. Were you going to say something, Al-Kaz?
No, I was just listening. A good conversation. I was thinking about my pen and Whitehead. Wake up, everybody. You know, no more sleeping in bed.
Okay, we have about 13 minutes here. Ma'am, can I give you a number or email to get in touch with me? I'd like to follow up with you on some of the things we talked about. Will that be all right?
Sure, it'd be just fine.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. Okay. 615.
615.
Yes, 498.
Got it.
4669. Actually, that's on the website. You can the email and the phone number is on the website that we www.
Give me the website address.
Yes, ma'am. www.bfcinstitute.com.
Now, that's E as in Edward, F as in Frank, and T as in Time, Institute?
No, ma'am. Bravo, Fox, Charlie. B as in Bravo, F as in Fox, C as in Charlie.
Got it.
Institute.com. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
now,
ma'am.
Now, Reverend, can I want to
yes.
add this, and I'd like your opinion on this. I'm listening to this great bill. And I thought about this. When you all spoke about the young people and the killing in Chicago, I thought about this. It's somewhere in the Bible it says that even God would not approach a hungry or a starving man unless he feed him first. Many of our young people are hungry, not for food, but for validation. And
that's
if we
right.
validate them and let them know that they are enough just as they were born, just as they came out of their mother's womb, and that they are enough
right.
all by themselves.
Right.
And we tell them
right.
how they need to be congruent with what time it is, and we let
sure.
them know what is going on and what they
right.
need to do in particular seasons.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a start. That is a start. And I believe that youth and skill can outdo old age and treachery. I believe that. If you feed them spiritually, I believe they are hungry.
Right. Right. Oh,
to
yeah.
be fed
oh, yeah.
spiritually. And if we feed them, if we give them a viable diet, give them the tools that they need to understand that they are enough, if you do everything that you should do as an
right.
individual in your culture, in this time frame, and you don't achieve what we in this culture, in this container of America, consider success, you're still great. You're still awesome. You're still enough.
Correct.
And guess what? I'm going to support you. I'm going to give you whatever I can spare and whatever the rest of us can gather up, because you're still going to be all that to us as long
Thanks.
As you understand that you are enough. And I think that will alleviate some of this violence and emotionalism. I'd like
Absolutely.
To know your opinion on that.
Well, I was in Chicago recently, well, not too long ago, and I met with a bishop there, put a nice-sized church over there on the south side in Inglewood, where a lot of the drama is taking place. And as we were sitting there meeting, at least four or five other pastors called at the time, and they were all talking about how they want to get together. And so
he said to me, well, I'm just trying to get these guys, man, to realize when we come together, we all can't be in charge. And to your point, caller, what I share with them is the least important figure going out in the streets and reaching these guys is all of us. But the most important person are those who are hungry and starving for knowledge and truth. If we can't allow our egos to get out of the way of giving them those simple principles and embracing them in that way, you might as well not go out there and bother. Because one thing, you know, we've talked about on this talk show is game, no game. And those little guys that are thirsty and hungry, they can tell when you're not sincere. You know what I mean? And I think you're yes, spot on. That's what they're really desperate for, someone to come and keep it real with them, be 100 with them. You know what I mean? Even when you're talking about God as a pastor, I tend not to beat folk crosshead with a Bible. I want to talk to you about where you are right now, and hopefully we can get you to find your way in Christ and to the Bible, to the truth, and seek ye first the kingdom, right? Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The closest thing to the truth is oftentimes is our example, our presence. So I think your point is well taken. And great conversation. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Forsaken talent. As it relates to knowing what time we're operating in, how do we get those who have forsaken their talents to find time to identify those things and take best advantage of them?
Well, I would say, Pastor Doctor, concerning forsaken talent, you know, first you have to let them know that they have talents.
Okay.
If they have multiple talents, that's one thing. We should just have one, you know, to know to exercise it. Because sometimes, you know, in having the talent and you don't really know the value of it,
right?
You know, you have to come to yourself, as I know as one said before, he came to himself. And that's what made me realize about that, is because God gave me a true gift and that he knew that I loved, and suddenly I was stripped from it, you know, by the hands of the wicked.
Okay.
So I did have some help in being stripped from it. However, how to, as I said earlier, about realizing from the youth until now, the gray is coming in and doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Having the offer to them is to first go to them and ask maybe a question, you know, do you realize what gift that you have? Or do you have any talents? Do you know what they are? And maybe they can say, okay. It don't have to be basketball like mine was or like mine is. Whatever it is. And that's how you reach them right where they are. And that's what God was able to do with me, met me right where I was at. And, of course, you know I'm on the field. You know I'm on the ground. I'm out there in the streets daily doing all that I can do to keep hope alive. And you know, he was talking about the pastors getting together and setting those, what they would call, egos aside. I just don't think that's nothing should be put on the table about an ego at all. So if you have to be humble to go out there where them hurting people are. All they need to do is see evidence. So I want to say this as I wind down. You know, the Bible says, and I had to get this from afar. Some person, you know, was supporting my ministry, and they told me, said, don't be weary in way of doing. Man,
right. You
just don't know how motivating that was to me, because if change don't take place fast enough, you think that it's not working.
Mm.
Then I have to look at it. Man, you know, God waited on me for a little while. He utilized a preacher, and he came out in the street, said something to me, but it took a while before my life changed. But at least he did come out there and say something to me. And so in return, you know, I think it's only fair for me to do what the preacher did for me. He came out on the street corner, so now that's what I do. I take it to the street, and I allow the people to be where they are. I keep putting good information out there, and one day you'll see the results, and that's what being patient is all about. But first thing first, you have to go out to where they are and find out what kind of talents and gifts do they have, man, and you'd be amazed on what that may do. So that's my take on that.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. We're under our five-minute mark here, and we didn't play our commercials, but that's okay. I want to thank all of you all for joining us. Outcast, we didn't hear a lot from you tonight. Do you have anything you want to say, brief wrap our show up here?
Oh, no, maybe next time. You'll be on Thursday, right?
Yes, sir, Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
But I want want to especially extend an appreciation to our caller who stuck with us tonight. Great conversation and great ideas. The whole intent for the show is to open up wholesome dialogue that we all can learn from. And these are pre-recorded, so you can go back anytime and archive the show and listen to them. And by all means, share with your friends and families and have them join us. We love to engage in this type of dialogue. I don't have all the answers, but I'm grateful to offer the information we do have to share with our listening audience. So, ma'am, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I look forward to speaking with you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Reverend, one thing, can you please give me the title? Can you please give me the title of the Blog Talk program?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. This is called Talk Straight. This program is called Talk Straight with BFC Institute.
Got it.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank all of you good gentlemen. This has really been so awesome for me. I want to thank you. Peace and prosperity be upon your very lives.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
thank you. Great.
Charles,
we appreciate you, man. And we're going to do some. Let this last announcement take us out of here. 7 o'clock Tuesday. Lord willing, the creek don't rise, as the old folk used to say. We'll be back 7 o'clock Tuesday night with another episode of Talk Straight. For the sake of our message, we want to make sure we get that information to our listening audience. Again, thank you all for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. on another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're signing out with this.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversations. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just
get on board.
All you need is faith.